Want to talk to you guys today a little bit about Thanksgiving. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up there on the screen. Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20. And if you put your finger there and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that'll be our scripture for today. And again, if you don't have it, it'll be up there. I want to read to you before I read the scripture a proclamation from a governor. His name was Mr. Bradford in 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth Rock. He said this, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the raids, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, go gather all ye meeting to your meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1663, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock." I mean, you guys are glad we don't say ye anymore. Ye. "There to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." For all his blessings. It's amazing that you see these brave people that braved the seas and came over to this country to settle into a new land of opportunity, a new land of worship, a new land of freedom. And here we see it 3 years later, the governor Bradford giving this proclamation in 1623. And this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving, one day in which we will, like those early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedules to give thanks to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving thanks to the Lord and to continually do it daily. You know, Thanksgiving is not about just one single day. It's about a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Amen? You've got to really be deliberate in your Thanksgiving. Now, how many of you guys wake up every day and thanking God? We don't always do that. Sometimes we wake up sick. Sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. How many of you guys wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Sometimes I do. I don't feel spiritual every single day of the week. That's just the way it is. I'm grumpy. Ask my wife. Sometimes I can get in the mood. And that's enough. But Ephesians 5, 19, let's look at it together, tells Christians to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul's main subject here is praise and thanksgiving. Notice that there are other important words here in this passage. Notice these words: always, continually, and in all circumstances. Now, it sounds like Paul is talking about a church service here, but he's not. especially in Ephesians, it says, speak to one another with hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart. But he isn't. He is talking about a continual attitude. Sometimes some of us have a continual attitude, but it's not a Thanksgiving attitude. Sometimes we have attitudes that are not honoring unto the Lord. But a lifestyle of thanksgiving is something that is hard to do. Because sometimes it's hard to come up with something to be thankful about. How many of you guys ever been there? Sometimes you go through a period in your life where thanksgiving is very difficult to find because you're going through something, your family's going through something. There's difficult times all around us, especially in our country today. But the lifestyle that we're talking about, this continual thanksgiving, the only way that it can be accomplished is through Christ. He is the deciding factor. He is the it factor when it comes to giving thanks. Because let me make this statement to you. You can't properly give thanks unto God. You can't possibly know what true thanksgiving is until you have tasted the forgiveness that comes through Christ. Now, can you be genuine in thanking someone? Can you be genuine in being thankful that you've received and thankful that your family is healthy? Sure you can. But true thanksgiving comes through the blood of Jesus. It comes through knowing Him as Lord and Savior. True thanksgiving comes through knowing that you have been forgiven. That you have been forgiven much. True thanksgiving comes when you stand in a court of law and you're condemned. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions. That means the fight is over. We have no chance. When you're dead, that means it's done, right? You can't do anything about it. It's kaput. It's finished. Everything that you've tried to do has failed. And so the Bible says we're dead in our transgressions. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on. We have hope in Christ Jesus, that Jesus came in order that we would be set free, in order that we would be made whole again, that we would be alive again in Christ Jesus. That when we stood there in a court of law and we were guilty in our transgressions, and the judge is about to throw down the gavel, Jesus walks in and he lays himself down on the mercy seat. And he says, I take Jimmy McDonald's punishment. Let him go free. It was that day, it was at that moment that I knew what true thanksgiving was all about. How to truly be thankful. How to truly rejoice in the Lord, because He is good and His mercy endures forever. There's a song that says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His love, His mercy endures forever. And that's what we need to do as believers. We should be the most thankful people on planet Earth, because our sins have been forgiven. We have been made right in the sight of God, and we have become His sons and daughters through Christ Jesus. That's the hope we have. That's the promise we have. That's why we celebrate. That's why we rejoice. That's why when you come into the house of God and the drums start beating and Amanda starts leading us into worship, we should come and give thanks unto the Lord. Our hands should be clapping. Our mouths should be singing. Our hands should be raising. Sometimes our eyes start flowing with those things called tears because of gratitude, because of thankfulness for what He has done. Amen? Now, we also need to understand that there is a right perspective in which we have to look at things. There was a young lady who wrote home. She was in college and she wrote home to her mother. This is the letter that she wrote. She said, Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and I'm left with one arm and my leg is broken. When I jumped from a second floor of my dormitory when my dorm caught on fire. We were lucky, though. A young man from a service station saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in a hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because of it was because it was taking so long to get the dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He was so nice. I must admit that I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married as soon as he gets a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I will write more. Your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I made a C in sociology, and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news in the right perspective. You know, my mother wouldn't have got halfway through that sentence, and she would have been in Springfield, Missouri after my rear end, I can assure you. And sometimes we have to look at things in the right perspective, right? And to be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. Only then we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord properly. Now, there's three things I want to discuss with you quickly. And that's number one. There are three things that keep us from being thankful. Number one is our pride. Our pride. This is the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard to get everything I've got, and I owe nobody any thanks. I'm a self-made man. Well, a person that says that they're a self-made man is a very sad individual because everything rises and falls upon them. I thank God that not everything rises and falls upon me. He dictates my joy. He dictates my passion. He dictates how I see things in this life. And so many times what robs our thanksgiving is the fact that we feel like that we are the end-all and end-all, that it all rises and falls within us, our pride. Number two, another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit, a critical or constant complaining instead of being grateful. This person always finds something to complain about. How many of you guys know somebody like that? My grandfather was the worst. I'd call and I'd need to talk to my grandmother, hoping my grandfather wouldn't answer the phone. And he'd answer the phone and I'd say, hey, Grandpa, how you doing? Oh, I'm not doing too good. Well, what's the matter? And I should never have said that. Because we went through every ailment that he possibly could have. And sometimes you have to butt in on them. That was this pastor, and he was pastor in this church, and there was this elderly lady in his church, and she was the complainer, the critical spirit in the whole entire church. If something wasn't quite right, she would let everybody know. And so he was trying to get her to have an attitude of thanksgiving, of being grateful and having a grateful attitude. And she happened to be a potato farmer. And she... The pastor went to visit her house, and he noticed that the fields were ripe and she was going to have a huge bumper crop of potatoes. And so he went up to her door, knocked on the door, and found that she was around back looking over her potato crop. And he said, well, it looks like you're going to have something to give thanks to God about, because as I was passing, your crop looks the best. It looks great. You're going to have a bumper crop, the best you've ever had. And he thought, yes, finally, she's going to be thankful about something. She said, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good, but I don't have any bad potatoes to feed my hogs now. And you know, that's the kind of critical spirit that so many people have today. They can't see God's blessing in front of them because they're too involved in complaining and being critical to everybody else. And they're totally robbed of being thankful. They're totally being robbed of the attitude of gratitude. And trust me, there is an attitude that you have to have for gratitude. Amen? When people try to give you something, you don't just snatch it away and act like you deserve it, act like they were late in giving it to you. No, you when you receive a gift, you're grateful for that gift. You're thankful for that gift. You may not even deserve that gift. And you know what? We didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve the Son of God coming and dying in our place. We didn't deserve it. But God, because of His great love and His mercy and His loving kindness toward us, His long-suffering toward us, that we find ourselves being able to give thanks unto God, for He is good, for His love endures forever. Amen? Yes. Number three, the third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay up all night just to watch them. But they are there every night, and now we hardly notice them. That would be true. If the stars only came out once a year, what would happen? Man, everybody had their lawn chairs out, fires going, and try to keep it as dark as possible so that you could see every twinkle in the heavens if it was just once a year. We look at the children of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea for them to go over on dry ground. You see that their murmuring and their complaining started to happen because they were hungry. So God said, you know what? I'm going to cause manna to come down out of heaven, and I'm going to let them collect that every day in the morning. Now, manna is like a crusty bread, an old crusty bread. Now, and for the first little while, it was miraculous. I mean, every day these guys would go out and they would collect the manna that God Himself had brought down to earth. And they were having parties going, this is amazing. God Himself is feeding us. But over a period of time, they began to grumble and complain. And they forgot about the miracle in their life. And the manna that God Himself had prepared had become old hat, had become old news. And sometimes, especially as Americans, we hear about the blood of Jesus on a weekly basis. We understand what His blood is for. We understand why He came. We understand that His blood was to cover our sins. And when we first got saved, we were radically excited about this. But then after a period of time, something happened. And it became old hat. Became old news. But realistically, what we need to understand is that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that sustains us in this life. It's like water. It's like air in this room. We don't think about it. We don't count the times that we breathe per day. We don't realize that breathing in and out is what keeps us alive. Because if we stop breathing, everything stops for us. So if the air was taken out of this room, everybody would be desperate for it, wouldn't they? They would be desperate for the oxygen. And that's why we need to cry out so desperately, God, do not take Your Holy Spirit from us. Do not take Your presence from us. Keep Your presence with me daily. May You be a constant companion to me. May I always feel Your abiding presence and Holy Spirit in my life. Because without Christ, we are hopeless. Without Him, there is nothing. So I encourage you today, always understand why you give thanks. And give thanks when you don't feel like giving thanks. God, I don't feel like giving thanks today. I'm sick. My kids are sick. I don't feel like raising my head. I haven't got out of my night clothes in 2 days. I stink, Lord. I have nothing that I can think of to be thankful for, but Lord, I don't even feel like it, but God, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're with me when I'm sick. I thank you that you're with me in the deepest, darkest day of my life. You never leave. You never lose focus of me, Lord. There's not one thing that catches you by surprise in my life, because you have all of my days numbered. And because you have all my days numbered, I can rest in the fact that you have my life under control. And when things feel chaotic in my life, Lord, I turn to you, because you are the God of order. You are the God of my life. You are the God of my strength. You're the source of my joy. You are what causes me to give thanks. You are what causes me to give joy. You are my constant companion. And before you know it, you begin to give thanks and worship unto the Lord. And then all of a sudden this cloud lifts. A good friend of mine, say he was traveling between services. He's an evangelist, so he traveled a lot back in those days. And he said it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and he can't even remember, and it was dark, and he was about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden he was turning on the radio to try to find different stations to help keep him awake. And he came across this station, and he heard this guy laughing hysterically. There's no words being said. It's just complete and utter chaotic laughing. The kind where you can't stop. Even if you try, it makes it worse. And this guy's laughing. He's not saying anything. He's just laughing. And my buddy's driving down the road, and he goes, "This is irritating. What is this?" And so he starts listening a little bit longer, and he starts going, "What is this?" And it starts to get him tickled a little bit. And then before he knows it, he's laughing hysterically as well, and he has no idea why he's laughing. It's just that this laughing is so infectious that he starts laughing uncontrollably himself, because he doesn't know why this guy's laughing, and so he's busting up laughing himself. Dana says she laughs more at me laughing at something else than she does laughing at that something else. Because sometimes when I start laughing, tears are flowing. Have you guys ever snort when you laugh? Come on. Come on, ladies. Guys, they don't care. They just let it go. Ladies make it worse when you try to hide it, you know. it makes it much worse. But it's kind of like that. Thanksgiving is kind of like that. It's giving thanks when you don't want to. It's giving gratitude and thankfulness to God even when you don't feel like you want to. Because the Bible says that we are to continually to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen? We are to continually have praise coming out of our mouths. What's that mean? Does that mean, Pastor, does that mean we go around singing all the time? No, that's not what that means. God doesn't intend for you to sing in your sorrows. But what he does mean is that we are to have an attitude, this attitude of worship, this attitude of thankfulness. There was this guy, he was an author. His name is Kipling. He wrote Jungle Book, Rikki Tikki Tavi. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Wow, only a couple? That's crazy. Okay, there we go. All right. So he wrote all these things, a prolific poet and author. And back in those days, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, they just didn't make a whole lot of money. But this guy, he wrote so much, he's so popular, he was making money like crazy. And this guy, a reporter came to interview him. And he said, "Mr. Kipling," he pulled out a $100 bill just kind of flippantly and jokingly. He said, "It has been reported that when you write books, it averages out that you make $100 per word." He said, did you realize that? And Mr. Kipling went, "Wow, no, I didn't realize that. That's awesome." And he said, and the reporter goes, "Well, here's $100. Just kidding." And he laid it, he opened up Mr. Kipling's hand, laid it down on his hand, and said, "Here, give me $100 word. Author looked at this $100 bill, and back in those days, that was a whole lot of money. He folded it up, put it in his pocket, and he went, "Thanks." And the word "thanks" is more than a $100 word. It's priceless. It's priceless. You ever called up somebody and told them how thankful they are? You are that you know them. So I just want to say thank you for your work that you do. I just want to say thank you for visiting me when I was sick. I want to thank you for your heart. I thank you for what God's doing in your life because it's blessing me. The power of gratitude, the power of thankfulness is a power that is limitless. And I encourage you today, not just because of Thanksgiving, but make it a lifestyle in which you live, an attitude of gratitude. Amen? So I'll stand up. Amanda, would you come up? I want to invite you this morning to do this, and we're not going to prolong things. We're going to move the chairs and eat and have fellowship with one another and watch a game. But I would be completely remiss if I didn't do this. Is that today, if you have never received Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, then you don't know what true gratitude and thankfulness is. Because His love, it captures you. It changes you. It creates you. It creates inside of you something new, something fresh, something that you've never seen before, something that you've never experienced before. This Jesus who lived and died 2,000 years ago, whom you've never seen, whom you've never audibly heard, had you in mind. He loves you so deeply. And on the cross, His final words was this: "It is finished. It is finished." He told the people that were nailing His hands to the cross, He told them, His tormentors, He cried out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, forgive them. Forgive them, for they have no clue what they're doing." In the midst of Jesus' agony, He was forgiving. In the midst of His turmoil, He was loving us. He was thinking of us. And this morning, let's all bow our head and close our eyes. This morning, today, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. Do not go one more day without knowing Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Because He can heal you, He can deliver you, and He can completely set you free. And today, if you say, "Pastor, I want to know Christ today. I want to make Him Lord of my life." If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it as high as you possibly can get it. To do this morning. I want us to pray together. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray. Pray along with me, each and every one of us. Father, today, I give over my life to your control. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and make me new. Help me, Lord, today to live my life with gratitude and honoring you in everything I do. Today, Lord, I make a decision to live my life to your glory so that everyone can see that I am different and you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray over each and every person here today, God, that you would renew us in our thanksgiving, that we would realize the absolute dire importance of being thankful in our lives. Because the antidote to worry, is thanksgiving. Giving thanks unto you, Lord. And today, Father, we choose to give thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You guys give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.